Welcome to UN Gender Focus. I'm Deanne Penn at United Nations Headquarters in New York. Coming up, an MP from Somalia talks about the need to advance women's political representation in her country. And a youth advocate explains why stigma around sexuality hurts young people. But first, the world of work is changing and women should be empowered to leapfrog into high-tech or green jobs in the future, the Deputy Executive Director of UN Women has said. Lakshmi Puri shared this message with delegates at a multi-stakeholder forum on women's economic empowerment in the changing world of work. It is also the priority theme for the latest session of the UN Commission on the Status of Women, or CSW, taking place in March. Speaking to Jocelyn Sambira, Ms. Puri also highlighted the structural barriers to gender equality that persist within and across national boundaries.
The world of work is changing. We want to make sure that women are enabled to leapfrog into the ICT-enabled areas of work, and also the green economy and all the other aspects. At the same time, there are certain tendencies that we have to also be careful about how technology is replacing jobs, right? Are women going to be affected more by it? How can they avoid being affected by all of that?
When it comes to women in the workplace, it varies from country to country. But in advanced countries, for example, the equal pay for equal work is something that's being fought for very hard. Do you feel that maybe this year might be the year where we might have a breakthrough?
Well, we are certainly pushing the equal pay agenda. It's very, very central to women's economic empowerment and gender equality. We are going to be launching at the CSW an equal pay coalition, an initiative that will have both a strong advocacy aspect, awareness raising, outrage provoking. You know, the Pope said that it is pure scandal to have this kind of a gender wage gap. So we want more voices to say that and bring cognition, because even people don't realize. It's so, you know, subterranean. At the same time, with the ILO, we will be working in a number of countries to make sure that they become kind of incubators for best practice and achievement of equal pay goals.
A massive structural transformation is needed to advance women's political representation in Somalia, a woman member of parliament, or MP, has urged. Asha Geldiri was appointed chairperson of the Committee of Goodwill Ambassadors in the Horn of Africa country to help women secure 30% of seats in the federal parliament. Women faced a tough battle in last year's election, she recently told members of the UN Security Council, but ultimately they won 25% of seats. Speaking to Vibhu Mishra, Ms. Diri called for more logistical and financial support for women in politics to even the playing field.
Yeah, there are many challenges. There are, first, you know, there was no legal binding to secure for the women. There was a corruption and also limited resources for women. And there are elders who are not accepted the women's role to give the seats. And also, there are also men against women to have the seats. So cultural background, which is not allowed women to have seats, you know, rather than men. There are also the election committees. They were not strictly hold the agreement of the 30% of women. They are always following the men elders who are against with men. So all these obstacles are not make possible to have the 30%, but at least for the efforts and the backing of all the agents that I talk, and was make possible to have 25%.
In some of the challenges that you outline, how are you working with the other parts of the society, like the civil society, with other actors, including the UN, to overcome these challenges?
Yeah, actually, the international community, the UN agency, the gender offices, and the diplomatic community, they all was giving an access to and pushing, you know, to have this 30% quota. And also, we were having decisions from the leadership. They gain it. So the decisions we have from the government of Somalia, plus the backing of the UN community, plus the support is from the UN gender offices, and plus the support of the women civil societies, women activists, women ministers, all come together in the first time and make it possible to have this percent of 25%.
What message would you like to give to the younger generation of Somali women and girls?
I can say, you know, there is a long road ahead. You need to all your hands together, all your voice together, and also to learn more about the politics, to learn more about your rights, and also to have, you know, one voice to compete the men. We need to have more awareness and more mobilization and our voice together during the 2020 election. And we are over 51% of the Somali community. So we will give our votes or our half alliances, you know, those who are respecting women's rights.
Stigma around sexuality in young people can hinder conversations with policymakers, but young people have a right to participate in decisions about their sexual health, a youth advocate says. Haley Gleason is coordinator of ACT 2015, a global youth-driven initiative that calls for government accountability around HIV and also encourages solidarity between youth organizations working with HIV. ACT 2015 is a project from UNAIDS and the International Planned Parenthood Federation. Ms. Gleason took part in a panel on youth engagement and the Sustainable Development Goals, or SDGs, at a youth forum held this week at UN headquarters in New York. She spoke to Jocelyn Sambira about the need to remove stigma around sexuality in young people.
One of our grounding principles is really taking a rights-based approach. So, yes, providing youth-friendly services, providing sexuality education will improve health outcomes, but it also fulfills young people's right to participate and their right to be involved in decisions about their own health. And I think that the way that the alliances are structured, where they, a lot of the alliances have kind of from 30 up to 60 different organisations involved, coming from all different walks of life, so networks of young people living with HIV, networks of young people who are LGBTI, networks of sex workers, drug users. So this kind of groundswell of youth engagement, which is really grassroots, and I think that we're really spreading awareness of what the SDGs are, because a lot of young people don't really understand. It's kind of written in UN language that some people don't really get, but raising awareness of what the SDGs are and why it's relevant to us and why we should have a say in how our countries are monitoring them, to make sure that, just like in the spirit of the goals, that nobody's being left behind.
Are there any challenges that the alliance is faced with, and what are they doing to overcome them?
The issues of young people and issues of sexual and reproductive health are often so stigmatized, and it's quite hard to advocate for something that everybody already has this internalized stigma around. So there's a lot of kind of thought that young people shouldn't be sexual, they shouldn't have a sexuality, whereas all humans do have a sexuality. So it's kind of, sometimes it can be really, really challenging for those people to kind of be getting meetings with governments, because that what they're seen to be doing is kind of against kind of morals. So that's really tough. But I think it's, again, advocacy is a bit of a long game, so it's about kind of planting the seed and then watching that grow and just picking out, you know, key champions in the government. And all 12 countries that we work in have reported that they've got good alliances and at least one ministry, which is good. It's just kind of finding those champions to help you channel in. And I think, again, framing it through the rights-based approach that we do, I think it's quite powerful, and kind of saying, you know, this is our right to this, which I think makes people maybe more supportive of it.
And has this event helped in terms of linking up with other youth advocates, even if it's not regarding the SDG 3? And what have you gotten out of being here?
Yeah, absolutely. We were featured on the panel for SDG 3. We actually talked about on the panel about how the way that we try and look at health and well-being is kind of looking at the goals as really interlinked. So not just looking at, you know, target 3.3 on ending AIDS, 3.7 on sexual reproductive health services, which obviously we're really passionate about, but also looking at economic empowerment and poverty and gender equality. And there's some targets within Goal 10 about fostering political inclusion of people who are often marginalized, Goal 16 around accountable institutions. So we're trying to have a really kind of holistic overview and approach to the agenda.
You've been listening to UN Gender Focus from the United Nations in New York. You can follow more of our programs at radio.un.org. We're also on Facebook and on Twitter. Thanks for joining us today. I'm Deanne Penn.